The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of all the direct descendants of King David, Joseph was beyond all comparison the most faithful, the most just, the most obedient, and the most holy. As a good, obedient, and observant Jew and a lover of God's law, Joseph would gladly make the long journey to the temple in Jerusalem every year for the great feasts. This was one way for him to demonstrate that his whole life was turned towards the God of Israel. And so in obedience to God, Joseph would willingly do anything, renounce anything, or suffer anything. And so our text tells us that with him went his beloved wife Mary and the child Jesus. It's interesting to note that Jesus is now close to taking up for himself the religious responsibilities proper to a Jewish adult. This annual pilgrimage must have been for Joseph an occasion of deep spiritual joy as he went up to worship and to instruct the child Jesus in the ancestral traditions of the faithfulness of the devotions. As head of his family, Joseph would have found this time a source of profound happiness. There is no hint in Luke's gospel account that Joseph was guilty of any neglect. He exercised all his duties of his divinely mandated fatherhood with the utmost care and devotion. He was no domineering tyrant. The atmosphere in his household was one of loving freedom, rooted in mutual esteem and mutual trust. But then, bafflingly, on this one strange occasion, Jesus appears to betray that trust. He deliberately abandons his parents. There are some echoes here of the prodigal in the parable Jesus tells, the prodigal son. After their anxious search, filled with pain, they found him. But far from apologizing, Jesus appears to give his father a slap in the face. Verse 49 says, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Or in some other modern translations it says, "Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" It's as if Jesus had withdrawn himself from his parents' care and then told Joseph openly, "You are not my father and I am not your son." Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph were both utterly astonished and adds that at the time they did not understand. When the ancient church gave us this gospel episode to read on the feast of St. Joseph, she did so knowing well that there can be no question of any actual rejection. On the contrary, the story ends with the explicit comment in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. To understand this story and to see what it has to tell us about Joseph, we have to read it in the light of the rest of Luke's gospel. Luke's focus is on the identity of Jesus. He is the Son of David and also the Son of God. He is faithful to the law of Israel, and he fulfills all the expectations and prophecies of the Old Testament. But more than that, Jesus brings a radical newness. Jesus came to install a new covenant with God, for which the covenant of Moses was only foreshadowing. This new covenant would be open to Gentile as well as Jew. Through Jesus, all could find forgiveness for their sins and the way to eternal life with God. Jesus would use the paschal mystery of his death and resurrection to bring this about. From the beginning, Luke has been careful to show that everything in the life of Jesus points towards this paschal mystery. A few verses before our story, in verse 34, Luke tells how an old man, Simeon, took up the infant Jesus in the temple and proclaimed him the bringer of salvation. But then also, he says, this child was destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. So various hints and allusions link our gospel story today to the death and resurrection of Jesus. This event takes place at the time of the Passover. The presence of Jesus in the temple, surrounded by doctors of the law, asking questions and answering questions. All this gives us the foreboding for the days immediately preceding his passion. There are the 3 days of loss, followed by the happy finding. Jesus' question to his parents evokes the question of the angels at the empty tomb. Luke 24, verse 5 says, "Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead?" Luke then tells us that the women remembered his words, just as Mary stored up those words in her heart in verse 51. There is also a little Greek word that is translated, "it was necessary." It was necessary for Christ to suffer and so enter into his glory. It was necessary for me to be about my Father's business. It was necessary for us to celebrate and rejoice, for my son was lost and is found. He was dead and has returned to life. So what then does all this have to do and what does this say about Joseph? Perhaps first, those who were close to Jesus, those who were his followers, must conform. Those who follow him must conform to the pattern of his death and resurrection. They must be ready to endure suffering for his sake in order to share in his heavenly glory. The episode of loss and finding in the temple was undoubtedly painful for Joseph in a way that we can barely imagine how that would have been. But no actual rebuke to the child Jesus can be found in it. Jesus instead rightly that his first loyalty and love had to be to his heavenly Father. But this was also his first loyalty and love to his father Joseph as well. Jesus had to be obedient to God first, and so did Joseph. Jesus wanted to serve God in the Jerusalem temple, and so did Joseph. But then Jesus understood clearly that it was precisely God's will that he obey Joseph. And Joseph understood anew that it was his mission to mediate God's fatherhood to Jesus in a human way. Joseph had to be the teacher of the divine teacher. Joseph had to be the protector of the Savior and the master of the Lord of Lords. He had to be the best of sons, and then he had to be the best of husbands. Joseph was also the best of all fathers. Joseph's example helps us to live as sons and daughters of our heavenly Father, of our Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, open up our lives to the possibilities of your grace. May we value the disciplines of our faith and also the freedom of your Spirit, both of which are essential to the life of faith we seek to live. We ask you to lead us kindly and show us how to live graciously. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.